The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Big news. I mean, big news going on yesterday in Razorback football. We're going to try to cover it all. I don't think that there's ever been a more positive or more fun day for Razorback fans that had nothing to do with the game being played on the field or on the court or anything like that as probably what they had yesterday. I mean, we had, first off, it starts with Hudson Henry, which, of course, we'll discuss more in depth. But he commits to Arkansas, which we had Richard Davenport on the show yesterday, said that's where he was leaning. Everyone was feeling good about it. He commits officially to Arkansas. Then you have the news break of Kelly Bryant, the Clemson quarterback that everyone's been asking about. If there's a realistic chance of him coming to Arkansas, he schedules an official visit for October 20th in the game against Tulsa. And then you have a non-conference game scheduled in the future between Arkansas and the team that I have been begging them to schedule in Oklahoma State with a home-and-home 2024 in Stillwater, 2027 in Fayetteville. And it just seemed like it was such a great day and a big day for Razorback news all in one day on a Thursday. Who would have guessed that there all these things would be happening?
Now, all of that being, you know, kind of a news dump, if you will, and I know it's not really wasn't planned that way with a recruitment, what, two recruiting announcements, and then a non-conference game schedule announcement here right before a game in Little Rock. So, yeah, a lot to dive into that kind of, I don't want to say takes away from the game this weekend. I think adds to what's going on this weekend in Little Rock.
Yeah, it kind of feels like, okay, now they got to go out and win, because if they go out and win, it'll be the ultimate topper to what has been a great week for the Razorbacks. So, yeah, with all those things going on, it's just, I mean, they need some positivity. Razorbacks fans do. They need anything that they can get. And with Hudson Henry especially committing, I mean, that the recruiting class is continuing to build on itself and continuing to bolster. And the type of player that he is, and from all intents and purposes of what we've heard about him, especially from Richard Davenport, saying that he is just as good, potentially could be better than Hunter Henry, which is really saying something. But the fact that he is now the highest-rated recruit for Arkansas in the 2019 class, depending on who you look at, Arkansas has anywhere from the 11th best class in the country to the 15th best class in the country, which is still good no matter how you slice it, no matter who you look at, no matter what you're doing. Still a great class for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, and what you need now is to finish out strong and address needs. And you've gotten the best players for the most part in your state. I think there's, but you still got to go out and get some linemen. Is that still concerning to you as it is to me? I mean, it is to me right now that I don't see enough offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah, it's concerning. Coming. I know they got visits and schedules and recruiting some, but yeah, the fact you don't have that many commits is kind of alarming.
And I wonder if they deal with that by roster management. I guess that might be the right term to use there, with guys that just say, hey, this is not going to be the fit for me. Guys that use, we've already seen a couple of guys use the new redshirt rules that they're going to transfer out. Do you go the JUCO route? I just wonder how this staff will address the lack of numbers they have on the offensive line, because it doesn't appear that the 2019 class is going to address all of those needs.
Yeah, and this is from what I've heard, there might be, of course, that type of roster management, but there also might be some indication of where some defensive linemen or some of these guys that they have recruited as defensive linemen, maybe they do these cross-training things, but maybe moving them to offensive line.
Well, but that's not an answer long-term.
No, I mean, it's not a long-term
answer. You can't keep doing that.
So. No, but I don't know if that's the route that they want to go. Maybe they want more of those athletic, more of those smaller, faster guys to convert them into offensive linemen. I'm not totally sure on that. But, yes, it definitely is one of those things where – because they have three offensive linemen committed right now, so it's not like they have
that's
none.
That's what I'm saying.
But they don't – that's not enough for one. Three replaces the three that you're missing, going to be missing next year, and you still are missing a lot.
Right.
So, yeah, it doesn't make up for all.
Seems like you need six or eight. I mean, I don't know exactly what the number should be. Guys that get paid two commas in their checks need to figure that out. But it seems like I know this. I don't need a degree to figure out it needs to be more than eight. I mean, more than three.
Yeah. I think six. Six offensive linemen would be about the right number.
Like, as you said, you're losing three now. If you're only replacing those three and you're already shorthanded.
Yeah, you don't really make up any ground.
Right.
You're still stuck in the same spot that you were this past year, and you saw how bad it could hurt. So we'll see. I know that Stacey Wilkins is taking an official visit later this year. He's the 4-star offensive lineman.
Currently, God, you need to flip him.
Yeah, currently committed to Oklahoma. That would be big. That would be big because that would not only bolster, again, the recruiting class that's so great, but in a position that you desperately need, and which that way you would address almost all the needs that you have with big-time players in this class.
And how long has it been since, you know, you got a, and I know the dynamics of recruiting have changed a lot because of now we have the early signing period. So these
right.
these last signing day flips and all of these things don't really have the, you know, the same drama that they once had in February. But Arkansas really hasn't had a whole lot of history lately where players are coming to them at the deadline versus going away from the program at the deadline. There's been more instances of that, it seems like, in recent memory. It'd be great if you could get in the last closing days, closing weeks, and we're still a ways out from that. 2 months, you know, a little over 2 months from it. If you could get some guys from big-time Power 5 schools or other SEC schools to fill some positions you really need, particularly 4-star guys on offensive line that you were able to flip from a place like Oklahoma or a place like Ole Miss in the case of the Jonesboro linemen, that would just be huge for Chad Morris. It'd be another, to me, another check. A check mark in the recruiting boxes you're looking for in a recruiter.
Yep.
That'd be huge.
Yeah, and that's really the unfortunate thing is that when Chad Morrison comes into if any coach comes into Arkansas in his first year and is trying to get some recruits, the needs are there. You say, okay, well, he needs offensive linemen, and wow, hey, look, 2 4-star offensive linemen in the state of Arkansas. Perfect fit, but he doesn't have either of those committed to him. Of course, Stacey Wilkins, the higher rated one, he's 6'7", 285. He's committed to Oklahoma as of right now. He's the one that's taken an official visit. And then Darius Thomas, he's the one in Jonesboro. He's 6'6", 290. He's committed to Ole Miss right now. Now, from what I understand, Darius Thomas has zero interest in Arkansas, and Arkansas is not really big on Darius Thomas. But Stacey Wilkins, the guy out of Camden who's committed to Oklahoma, he's the one that's doing a visit, and they're really still trying to get big on him. But like you said, I mean, how many times has there been – you've seen some flips. I know that they've had some players flip from, like, Missouri to Arkansas and whatnot. But how many times – when was the last time, if any, do you can think of a time where Arkansas was able to flip a big-time recruit from a big-time school like Oklahoma? I mean, to me, that does not happen very
often.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It'd just be another feather in the recruiting cap of Chad Morris and his staff.
Mm-hmm. And at the position that you desperately need the most. So if you add that to the recruiting class, I mean, who knows what could happen.
But, you know, that territory up there in Jonesboro, I believe that's Steve Caldwell's recruiting grounds up there. And really his backyard where he grew up in southern Missouri up there. So, you know, I don't know if they're done working on it. You said Arkansas doesn't have a lot of interest. Well, you know, maybe nothing's going to happen on Thomas. But,
yeah.
Well, that's a need. You wonder why. I mean, you'd like to, you know, you'd like to learn more about why the true and inside story, not just the company line, as to why you're not pursuing a guy that one of your division foes is after.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm sure that, you know, on message boards they say that they didn't want him anyways. Maybe his grades are not going to get there. I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be reasons why people are going to speculate to why he isn't there. But, yeah, it's the offensive line is kind of the next big thing. It's great getting a tight end like Hudson Henry. It's great getting these wide receivers. That's all great and good and wonderful. But that offensive line is in desperate need of some serious work. And you're already losing 3 of your offensive linemen that – are average at best as far as a unit, and so you got to replace them with somebody. I mean, next year the offensive line realistically could be worse unless people don't vastly develop and get better after this season to the next season. It could be worse offensive line. That's scary to
think.
And
it's hard to make your offense better with a declining offensive line.
Yeah.
And you can go the JUCO route, but those are Band-Aids.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't fixes. I mean, they can help you
in a pinch.
Short term, and I mean, you get a few Sebastian Trotolas along the way that come in and produce, but it's usually a 1-year deal because you get them in for a year, and then a lot of times JUCO players don't produce a whole lot the first year they're on campus if you have them for 2, and they give you a little bit their second year, and then they're done. So that, you know, you don't normally get a lot of production out of JUCO players. By and large.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if you look at what the offense could potentially look like next season, I mean, you're looking at it to where you have 4 phenomenal freshman wide receivers coming in. You're going to have Cheyenne O'Grady as well as Hudson Henry in the tight end position. Oh, my goodness. Then you have all the running backs returning that you have. Oh, my goodness. But it doesn't mean anything if your offensive line is held together with tissue paper. Yeah. So none of that's going to matter.
And Hudson Henry, I know we're going to play the audio of his commitment a little bit later on. I know everybody's heard it probably by now, but we're going to play it again. You got the number one player at a position in the country. Now, he's in your backyard, but you got him.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I think you can build around when you're formulating your – you got the best tight end of the country coming to your program. That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because even Richard Davenport said yesterday he's a borderline five-star player.
Well, and Tom Lemming's got him five stars.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that's the thing that frustrates me about the reporting of recruiting is, you know – it varies. It's so, I mean, it's all opinion, but one guy's got him five-star, one, there is no, he is this, you know.
It's all the composite.
Rare is the player that's a consensus five-star.
That's right.
A consensus this, he's four or five-star player, depending on who you're looking at, but he's a good one.
Yeah.
He's the best, and that's the one that, best in the country, in a lot of people's opinion, at that spot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of people that's talked about it, and it's rightfully so that the Little Rock area, the Central Arkansas area, hasn't produced as many high-end talented players to come to Arkansas as they used to, and they don't rely on them as much. But I can tell you one thing. Little Rock has produced tight ends. DJ Williams and Hunter Henry and Hudson, I mean, they found a way to produce tight ends.
You look at where they've come from, though. They've come from private schools.
Oh, yeah.
It's not been the public schools in Little Rock that have produced the players that have went to Arkansas.
Yeah, those are the big-time
football. For the most part.
Yeah, I mean, PA's a huge big-time
PA and Little Rock Christian have kind of been the schools lately that have produced the players for Arkansas.
Yeah, Darren McFadden of the Oak Grove Academy.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
it's now Maumelle, I guess.
Yeah, getting the guys out of Central, you know, that's Little Rock Central, that's just not there anymore. But, hey, maybe they can add another Mackey Award winner with Hudson Henry. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of great tight ends out of Little Rock coming into Arkansas, that is for sure.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Kelly Bryant, the former Clemson quarterback who announced earlier this season that he would be transferring out, has officially set a visit for Arkansas on October 20th in the home game versus Tulsa. He will also have an unofficial visit to North Carolina this weekend, but of course Arkansas is the only one that's an official visit. His stats from 2017, 66% completion percentage, 2,800 yards, 13 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. So the things that we were talking about of how this could be a possibility, how it would make sense, how it would be a pipe dream in a lot of Razorback fans' mind, it's no longer that. It seems like there's some serious ground to where not only is Kelly Bryant wanting to play for Arkansas, but it looks like the coaching staff and Chad Morris are interested in bringing Kelly Bryant in. Now, some people have looked at this as far as being bad optics because, hey, wait a minute. What about Connor Oland? What about John Stephen Jones? What about KJ Jefferson, the guy you're bringing in? What about Ty Story, the starting quarterback who seems to get some things going? He'll be back next season. What about him? But yet they're still interested in taking Kelly Bryant, because here's the thing too, folks. If Kelly Bryant came into Arkansas, or if he decided that Arkansas was the place he wanted to play, he's not coming in to back anybody up. He would be the starter as soon as he stepped on campus. So my question is this a bad look? Or is it just a college football coach in Chad Morris knowing what's on the line, knowing what it means to win, and doing whatever it takes to get the best player at the position of quarterback, knowing that Kelly Bryant would be that guy?
I think it's whatever you need to do to jumpstart your program in the second year. So if this guy can come in and give you that one-year jumpstart, and it's a one-year deal, and it can make a two- or three-win difference for you, you do it. Particularly if you're going to have a year this year where it appears, I don't know, 4 wins maybe the ceiling. 5 perhaps, but that seems a stretch maybe at this point.
Be a great end to the season if they won 5.
Be a strong finish, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Be a very strong finish. But 3 or 4 wins for this year seems more reality, right?
Right, yeah.
I think anything less than that, we're going to be all very disappointed. So whether we're disappointed or whether we're 3 or 4 wins, there definitely has to be something to give a jump start to next year. Either way. And I'm not talking like, okay, you can come in and, you know, whether it's one of the quarterbacks you've got now that have battled it out or one of the young, you know, red shirts from this year who may get more time in November, Connor Dolan or John Stephen Jones, whether it's one of those, whether it's one of the quarterbacks you got on your roster or you bring someone like Kelly Bryant in, if you can find one of those guys that gets you to eight or more wins, if you can find an answer to that, you got to go that route, obviously.
I don't have a problem with that at all. In fact, there's been some people that...
I mean, it's just about winning. I mean, yeah, it's winning, period. End of story.
Listen, this isn't high school football anymore.
No.
I mean, this is about this is SEC football, big boy football. It's
and
about winning.
And listen, I don't like the idea necessarily of changing quarterback. Okay, it's a one-year deal, and then we're going to change again. I'm all about let's build some stability.
Of course.
It'd be nice to find a quarterback that can be your guy for 2 to 3 seasons. I get that. But if a guy can come in and lead you to 8 wins in year 2 for Chad Morse, sign me up.
Mm-hmm. An established quarterback.
I don't know. We talked in the first segment of the show about, you know, Hudson Henry coming and Kelly Bryant coming to visit and all that. And then we also rolled around to, you know, the rest of the 2019 class. No, by the way, they only have 3 offensive linemen committed. I don't know. Whoever you put back there still got to have an offensive line they can work behind and be successful behind. And you're losing what appears to be your 3 best offensive linemen this year to graduation, and you're bringing in 3 new ones. I've still got grave concerns about next year's offensive line. Until those needs are addressed, it's going to be a difficult issue. And if I'm Kelly Bryant, when he gets here in a week, those are some sharp questions that I'm going to be asking, I'm going to be looking at. I'm sure he's done his homework or will be doing his homework. He's going to be wanting to know about the offensive line. I'm a quarterback. That's going to be one of my first concerns.
You don't want to get killed
every
play.
What answers are you going to have? Exactly.
Especially when you walk into a situation. Because here's the thing. There's going to be a lot of teams after him, too. So it's not like Arkansas would be his best option and he just has to settle for it. I mean, there's going to be other programs that are really going to be looking at him and saying, hey, come on in. And then they're going to pitch the idea. It's just like a whole new recruit. Essentially, you're having to recruit him. You're having to recruit him from other programs.
It'd be no different like when you came to look at this job. Do you have a studio? Do you have microphones?
Do you have air conditioning?
Exactly. You know, are the basic essentials to do the job there?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Can I be? Is it an environment that I can be successful in?
Mm-hmm.
Is Arkansas an environment next year that someone could? It's hard enough to transfer to another system and be successful anyway. Because there's always a transition period. I don't care what you're doing in life. When you go from situation A to another situation B, it just takes time. How long did it take you? You started here in March. How long did it take you before you really kind of felt, you may not even feel comfortable yet.
I'm in 30% install right now, Tom.
Right. I mean, but seriously.
But yeah, it takes a while. It really does.
You'd done this job before, but how many weeks? I mean, it took you a while to just really feel comfortable again because it's new surrounding, new environment. You're working with me and not doing the show the way you used to do it. And it's new clock, a format. You're working with new staff.
It's all
and this
different.
Is just a dadgum radio show. And it took a little while. Okay, now you're running an offense and you're the quarterback in an SEC program. I mean, you don't have time when you got 1 year for all this transition for it to not, you know, it's got to go smooth and seamless. And then you take something like the offensive line is going to be a work in progress. That would be a concern of mine.
It would be. Now, if you look at all the other positions, though, the wide receiver position, the running back position, the tight end position, mm-hmm. I think that it's very, very appealing to a quarterback like Kelly Bryant.
Is that enough to?
But that's going to be the case. Does that outweigh the potential offensive line issues? Is coming in and say, you know what, you're going to be throwing to some freshman wide receivers that are 6'3 and above. We also have some guys already established in here, like a Mike Woods. You're going to be throwing to a Cheyenne O'Grady type of tight end that's a really great tight end, and you're going to have a stud true freshman in Hudson Henry, the number one tight end in the country. You're also going to have 3 or 4 running backs behind you that were all very established and have a lot of ability.
About half of what you just talked about are players that haven't taken a snap yet and collegiate football.
Right, but that's what you're going to have to approach it as.
Right.
Because, listen, right now, I mean, what wide receivers are you going to be able to showcase? I mean, you have a couple guys that make plays. I'm not saying they have nobody, but you have to be able to say, you got this coming in. You got this that's going to be here once you get here. And they really don't have any wide receivers that they can tout right now of saying, oh, you're going to have a Kobe Hamilton to throw to or a Greg Childs or somebody like that. So I don't know exactly what route they took, but I would feel like he would approach it as saying, you're going to have some big, tall wide receivers to throw to. You're going to have some athletic guys to throw to. And even in the tight end position, you're going to have two guys there that are really, really good tight ends. But again, like you say, does that outweigh the potential offensive line issues? Is that going to be enough for him to say, you know what, I could have gone to this school where they have a better offensive line, a little more established offensive line, but I want to come here because why? I mean, you're going to have to figure out what is going to be the reason that gets him to Arkansas. Is it just the familiarity of the offense? Is it the relationship with Chad Morris? Mm-hmm. Is it just being in the SEC and Arkansas is in the best place for you to step right in and be the starter? I don't know how they're going to approach it, but I do know there's a lot of things that they can look at and pitch in a positive manner, but there are some negatives. Listen, you're 1-5 for a reason. It's not like Kelly Bryant's going to come in next year. I know people are going to start jumping on this, saying he's the savior of the program. But Kelly Bryant's not going to come in next year and immediately take Arkansas from being maybe a six-win team to then jumping right up and then they become a 10-win team. I don't think he's going to be the savior of the program in that way. But like you said, Tommy, if he gives you the potential to win a few more games, then you absolutely got to take him.
Let's go to Cole in Little Rock real quick. He wants to talk about Kelly Bryant. Cole, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Awesome, man. What you got for us?
You know, I think everyone's been shocked about the recruiting so far. And the thing Chad keeps coming back to is the relationship and relationships that you got to build with these kids. And you've seen them been doing it. And if you go back to early February or whenever we had that elite prospect day, I don't think anybody thought we would get those guys, but he got them on campus, and look what our class has been now. And I think just the familiarity with Kelly Bryant will get him to Arkansas. There, I know he had some health issues in high school, but Chad didn't back off, and they got him to Clemson, and I feel like he'll know the right buttons to push, and I don't know. It feels good to be excited about Hog football during a 1-5 season. I'll hang up and listen. Whoop big.
I appreciate the phone call, Cole. Yeah,
it is weird to have the optimism and the excitement. And that just goes, I think, somewhat with the territory of a new coach and a 1-5 year. That it is weird.
Yeah, it is.
For everybody. And as we talked about in the summer, when recruiting seemed to be trending in the right direction, this might be the most, if things turn sour, and we didn't think it'd be like this. We thought, you know, early on, you could be 2-4.
At the worst, 2-4 is what
you
we thought.
You think 3-3, could be 2-4, and you might be leaning real heavy on that recruiting class to kind of get you through. We never dreamed it'd be 1-5. We thought, you know, that recruiting class might be the one thing that gives fans something to clutch onto and build hope for the future. And boy, has that been maybe the only accurate thing we've said. Yeah.
And in fact, and here's the thing, if Kelly Bryant does decide to come to Arkansas, you talk about immediate excitement for guys never even taking a snap at Arkansas going into next year. So it's all about momentum and energy, and they could have a great closeout this year, that's for sure.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Arkansas and Oklahoma State have scheduled a home-and-home series in football. And they did it in the most unique way, I guess, a way that we haven't really seen, where they went on to Twitter with the official Razorback football and Oklahoma State Cowboy Twitter accounts. And they essentially just tweeted back and forth at each other. Now, it's funny to see because I guess that's just the way in this day and age where you're doing everything on social media and everyone's talking about it. But here's just the conversation that was had for reference. Oklahoma State tweet says, hey, Razorback football, sup? Razorback say, sup? Cowboy football says, what are you doing? Razorback football says, getting ready to go to the Rock to play Ole Miss. You? Oklahoma State says, preparing for Kansas State in Little Apple. Hey, we should play. It's been too long. Razorback Football responds, you're right, it's been a minute, since 1980. When were you thinking? Oklahoma State says, how about our place in 2024? Razorbacks say, done. Fayetteville in 2027? Cowboys say, let's do it, see you then. And that's how everyone found out. Well, a simple Twitter conversation between the Twitter accounts.
I was sitting in my office yesterday. I didn't see it there, but the release came out around 4 o'clock yesterday from the U of A that came out. And, I wasn't aware. I think most of the world found out the other ways that we found out more traditionally. But that is I like that.
Yeah.
Having
fun with it.
That's a fun way of doing it. I think that probably misses the vast majority of your fan base, particularly the ones over the age of, 45. But I like that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
A neat way to do it.
I think it was really fun because, in fact, they did that. And then right after that, when that conversation ended, is when they sent out the release. So it's pretty much
awesome.
Hand in hand. But, yeah.
I like it.
So there you have it. Arkansas, Oklahoma State will be playing each other in football in Stillwater in 2024 and then in Fayetteville in 2027. Now, this is the first time since 1980 they've met where the Hogs won 33-20. And as far as the series goes, these two teams used to play a lot. Arkansas holds the series record 30-15-1, and they won the last five against the Cowboys.
You know what that means?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Because these programs are a lot different.
It was about 40
than they
years
were in
ago.
The 70s, and really it was the 1960s and 70s. And there's a lot of history there. And, Clay Henry is going to be able to speak a lot about this because he covered Oklahoma State when he spent time working at the Tulsa newspaper. So he's got a feel for both sides of it. But then Arkansas has the ties way back in the history when Jimmy Johnson was a player on the 64 national championship team and was in line to be the next head coach at Arkansas and didn't get the job and ended up being head coach at Oklahoma State and then ended up, of course, at Miami. And
rest is history.
Pat Jones. There's a lot of ties coaching-wise, with Jimmy Johnson, Pat Jones, and others that have been at Oklahoma State and have ties to the Arkansas program as well.
Yeah, even in the basketball side of things with Eddie Sutton, too. I mean, there's a lot of connections there. But
they've played, obviously, a lot more recently in basketball, but it has been a while. I'm on board with you. We've been talking about this for years, and I totally agree with you that this is a series that is long overdue for revival, for renewal. And it just makes sense geographically, travel distance for both fan bases, the parallels in the program, the equal footings. Both are have the sense of being little brother to an extent because Oklahoma State has always lived in the shadow of the evil OU empire. Arkansas has always lived with a little brother complex because of Texas and the old Southwest Conference days. This is a great series. I just think these two programs mirror each other a lot. And this has the makings. And I wish it could get to a point that someday, I wish it wasn't 2024. I wish we didn't have to wait 6 years.
Yeah.
And I wish that we could find a way that this became a more annual tradition.
Yeah. And maybe it will.
And maybe it will. I find it interesting, just the timing of it all. And it's going to be home and home, which is great. And B, it's not in Arlington, obviously.
Yeah.
So, there's some clues. You got some really great non-conference games on the horizon for Arkansas. Obviously, Notre Dame is a huge one that's coming up in a couple of years. You were supposed to have had Michigan. That didn't work out. So, Arkansas has reached out and tried to really amp up its non-conference game. This is another step in the right direction. You still got Texas coming up for a onesie.
Yeah, in 2021 in Fayetteville.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And in fact,
it seems like you haven't because of what's gone on this year and then what's on the schedule next year kind of stinks. But then it's going to get, increasingly better once you get through this year and next year. So.
Yeah, you mentioned the proximity of it all. And I think that's what's the most exciting thing because Fayetteville and Stillwater is about 3 hours away. I mean, it's not far at all.
Well, I mean, it's –
it's in fact –
from Fort Smith, it's about a little over three.
Yeah. I mean, so it's really close by for both places, and that's why I'm kind of glad it's a home and home.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.